The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, how the world has changed. Hey, can you imagine that this is the most wicked song of 2020?
Well, first of all, Howard, I don't know if any of the listeners can actually even remember that song. I mean, maybe you and I do, but I mean, for the rest of the people listening in, I mean, that is really a throwback.
It is a throwback.
But yeah, the world has definitely changed. And I mean, you know, political correctness has really come a long way since those days in many respects, not only in this respect of touching me, touching you, but, you know, in many other respects as well.
Yeah, that is true. All right, lots of subjects to talk about from Israel this morning. The IDF attacked targets in Gaza after a missile was fired towards the Israeli territory yesterday. Do we know who carried out this attack on Israel?
Okay, so I was talking about this attack that was carried out yesterday, a missile attack from Gaza, the first one in over a month. You know, and as I said, COVID-19 has some strange impacts on local situation, and that certainly has been one of them. But the IDF decided again to respond to this missile attack. It's a missile that fell in open area. The red alert siren was sounded, but fortunately, there was no damage. There was no injuries caused by the attack from Gaza. We're not exactly sure who was responsible for the attack, but the IDF responded in a very, very limited sort of way. Tank fire was directed towards military outposts in Gaza yesterday, as opposed to aircraft being in use again. Usually it's the Israeli Air Force that responds to these attacks, but not yesterday. There was a report from the Al-Qassam Brigades that this is a military wing of Hamas that said yesterday that one of its members from Gaza City had died after a terror tunnel he was working in had collapsed. Now, it's not clear whether the collapse was as a result of the IDF fire towards Gaza, whether it was just a collapse in the ordinary course of business. And we also know that the Al-Quds Brigade announced that they had some new information regarding the Badr 3 rocket. They released a video showing this new rocket. And so both of those were definitely in action yesterday. It's not clear whether either of them were responsible for the missile fire, but certainly the Israeli government is holding Hamas responsible for it. And it comes at a slightly strange time because very, very strong reports coming from Germany and from Switzerland now that a prisoner swap deal seems almost to be imminent. Apparently, Swiss and German intermediators are currently involved in trying to broker a deal between Hamas and the Israeli government to release those two Israeli soldiers' bodies and two other Israelis who have disappeared in Gaza. Not quite sure what the quid pro quo is going to be, what the Israeli government will be expected to give up, but certainly some very, very strong reports today that that's moving ahead.
Yeah, it's crazy, absolutely crazy. Israeli land lease in Tzofar came to an end last week, and a small ceremony was held to signal the end of the time there. What is this lease about, Dan?
So Tzofar was a kibbutz which was on the Jordanian border and went along together with Naharaim, which together had been known as the island of peace, right on the Jordanian border. And this was a kind of strange piece of land that belonged to Jordan as part of the peace agreement that was struck with Jordan back in 1994. But because it was being farmed by Israeli farmers at the time, the Israeli government and the Jordanian government agreed that Naharaim and Tzofar would remain in Israeli hands on a 25-year lease arrangement. So those kibbutzim remained there, moshavim actually, not kibbutzim, but moshavim, remained there. Israeli citizens lived there as Israelis, as part of Israel. They farmed the land. And it was expected that after 25 years, it would simply just be renewed subject to whatever new arrangements were in place at the time. Well, unfortunately, the end of the 25 years came just at a moment when a lot of tension exists between the Jordanian and the Israeli government. Naharaim was already returned back to Jordan in November of last year after the 25 years expired. But a special arrangement was made for Tzofar where the Israeli farmers could stay there because they just actually sowed the land with a pepper crop. And it was agreed with the Jordanian government that they would be allowed to harvest their peppers that they'd sown on this 110-hectare piece of land. And as soon as the peppers were harvested, that the Israelis would leave. And that's what happened last week. The peppers were harvested, and a little ceremony with 2 meters of social distancing was held at Tzofar. The gates were locked, and effectively the land was handed back to Jordan. End of story. So a bittersweet situation, because even though we did manage to agree that with Jordan that the harvest could be, the peppers could be harvested, unfortunately the land was handed back. So a sad moment for those people. That is kind of what reflects the current situation, I guess, between Israel and Jordan.
Yeah, I guess it's just a very, very difficult and clearly a very tense time. Or it always has been a tense time, I guess, but doesn't.
Well, I think the tension has increased a little bit because of this, a lot of talk about annexation of land that Israel currently has control of within the Jordan Valley area. And I think that the Jordanian government particularly has taken exception to this talk about annexation of the Jordan Valley. And of course, it has to show its strength in front of its own people. And so I think that this is one of the ways that it decided to do so.
All right. And tell us about the Bedouin town of Hura.
Well, it's one of the areas, the latest area, to be honest, that's gone under hard lockdown for COVID-19. We've had a few areas in Israel which have been under very, very severe lockdown because of major outbreaks of COVID-19 in those areas. And Hura has become the latest one, a Bedouin town in the Negev. And it turns out that, unfortunately, they didn't apply the social distancing rules as they were expected and required to apply. And apparently, they held a wedding in the area where 200 people were actually in attendance at this wedding, in spite of the fact that that was clearly against the law and against the rules. There was no policing at the time. This is a fairly remote sort of place in the negative, and I guess policemen weren't around. Nobody really knew about what was happening, as a result of which I think there was one person who actually had the virus and managed to infect dozens of other people at that particular function. So this is a real life example of why social distancing is really important and why all of these rules have been put in place to force us not to congregate together in areas, because one person can really do massive amount of damage. And this is what's happened in Hura. So the police have moved in there and they've cordoned the area off so people can't move in and out. And of course, those who are having to deal with having infected the virus are being treated. And let's hope that we will be able to get rid of that particular hotspot. Israel, as we've discussed before, has taken this the view of identifying certain hotspots and closing those off. We saw it in Bnei Brak. We saw it in certain suburbs in Jerusalem. We saw it in the north as well, some Israeli Arab towns in the north, and now Hura is the latest one. It doesn't really affect the numbers, because fortunately our numbers continue to go down, but unfortunately Hura is not part of that, and so they've had to go into lockdown in order to prevent other people from being infected.
Right. And Israel had rain yesterday. I couldn't believe it. I actually was chatting to my mother-in-law yesterday, and she said to me, "It is pouring." And I said, "What? Like it's May?"
Yeah, very, very strange indeed. It's highly unusual for us to be still having rain during the month of May, but that's the way it is. Rain yesterday and a few drops even overnight as well. And it allows us just to kind of take stock of where things are. We've had a very, very wet, rainy season indeed. All parts of Israel had rainfall, which ranged from 110 to 200% of the annual average. Wow. So really a much, much higher amount of rain. An average of about 130% of Israel's average annual rainfall fell over the winter between 2019 and 2020. Rain in May is almost unheard of, really unheard of, but that's the way it is. The Kinneret is on the verge of filling up, and I think that's probably where it's going to stay now. As it reduces its volume over the summer period, it got to 12 centimeters from its maximum level of 208.8 meters below sea level. So that's probably where it will stay. It'll obviously go down now as the pumping for water usage continues over the winter time. But a very, very unusual rainy season. And of course, rain as late as this is very, very unusual. Welcome, but slightly strange weather. You know, at this time of year, we were already expecting to be more out and about. The weather has been slightly cool and maybe just as well, given the lockdown situation. But of course, that's all being, released now as the government allows further, release of the lockdown provisions. Shopping malls due to open tomorrow with provisions being instated in order to prevent people from getting too close to each other. But hopefully the weather will also improve along with that. While we're talking about weather and things like that and lockdown, we can also just talk a little bit about Lagbaoma that's going to be happening next week. And of course, a lot of concern about people and gathering over Lagbaoma. Very, very stringent rules have been applied.
Well, I was going to ask you, what about things like weddings? And I mean, I know it's the Omer, so a lot of people don't have weddings and things like that now. But as they easing restrictions, what about shul or synagogue services, mosques, you know, this type of thing? What are the regulations around that?
So prayers at the moment are still limited to 19 people in an open area maintaining social distance. That's whether you're Muslim or Christian or Jewish. If you want to pray together, that is the current provision. There is talk about allowing people to begin to pray within enclosed areas, to open shuls, to open mosques, to open churches and things like that. But that's not happening right now. As far as weddings are concerned, as far as a Brit is concerned, up until now, a Brit has been allowed with a maximum of 10 people maintaining social distance. That is now being increased to a maximum of 19 people maintaining social distance. Weddings have been allowed just with a close minyan, 10 people, but there is talk about expanding the wedding just for the chuppah, the kiddushin, just for the wedding ceremony itself and not for the party, but for a wedding itself, a ceremony, expanding that to 50 people maintaining social distancing. That's not yet been allowed, but there is certainly talk about that. So slowly but surely, there is a release of those provisions and a slight relaxation of the stringency that's been applied on those things. And of course, with Lag BaOmer next week, there's concern that people will congregate at Mount Meron at the grave of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. It usually attracts hundreds of thousands of people, and very, very strict rules have been applied. Certain number of bonfires will be allowed to be lit. This is a tradition. Certain senior rabbis have the honor of lighting the bonfire. They've gone and listed exactly who will be allowed to light which bonfire where. Each rabbi will be allowed to bring 10 people with him to light the bonfire. No congregation on Mount Meron at all. No visiting the grave of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So very, very different Lag BaOmer this year for people.
Amazing. Time is 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. We'll catch you tomorrow morning, same time, same place.